Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Once again, tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown, Jr. I do apologize for coming on a little bit late because I was just running in from choir rehearsal, but thank God we are here on tonight. So I'm asking all listeners, before we go to prayer, please get your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready so that you can follow along with the awesome man of God. Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C., he will be delivering God's word on tonight. Also, remember that he will be delivering God's word every Thursday night and every fourth Saturday night. So he will be back on this coming Saturday night. I want to make sure I got that. Yes. He will be back on again this coming Saturday night. So please pass the word. We're getting ready to go into prayer. So if you know of anyone that have lost a loved one, if you know of anyone that's sick and afflicted, we want to come in agreement in prayer because we know God is still hearing and answering prayers even on tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we, your children, are coming together on one accord, realizing and knowing that you are God all by yourself and you're worthy of our praise. No matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like, you're still worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Overseer Jackson and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land that are being faithful doers of your word. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Heavenly Father, we come once again thanking you for your grace and your mercy that you extend to each one of us, even though we don't deserve them. We thank you. And, oh God, we come now in the name of Jesus, lifting up our sisters and brothers in Christ that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Our pastor, sister, minister, E. Jane Ellis, we want to continue to lift her in prayer. She had surgery. My cousin, Ken Hogue, he had surgery as well. He's home from the hospital. Mary Ann King, my cousin from North Carolina. And also, we want to keep in prayer all those that have lost loved ones, the Thomas Hughes family, the family of Sister Mary Abraham, the Ramirez family. We want to keep those families lifted up in prayer. And all those that have lost loved ones that we don't even know of, we pray, Lord, that you will move by your spirit, comfort and strengthen each one, the family members, and let them know that you are still worthy to be praised, even as their loved ones have made their transitions in the name of Jesus. Help them to remember to look to the hills from which cometh their help, for all of their help comes from you in the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we thank you that you are still our prayer answering God. You are our healer. We know that all things are working together for the good of them that love you, to them that are the called according to your purpose. So now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your spirit over the airwaves on tonight as your man of God get ready to deliver another word from you on tonight, that your word will be received And, oh, God, we pray that should there be any listener on tonight that's not saved in Jesus' name, that they would receive your word, they will open their mouth to confess their sins and transgressions, and ask your son, Jesus the Christ, to come into their hearts and save them. Even on tonight is our prayer in Jesus' name. So help us on tonight. Help us to decrease so that you may increase in each one of us individually, then as the corporate body of believers, that you get the glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us in the form of a question on tonight. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us in the form of a question, and this applies to every saved believer in Jesus' name. Where do you stand in God's sight? That's a good question on tonight for every believer in Jesus' name. Where do you stand? Not your pastor, not your mother, but where do you stand in God's sight? I do welcome our comments and feedback from our listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any music or songs played on this ministry platform. We're getting ready to go to our music break. Then we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. And once again, I pray and hope that you all have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to go and follow along with him as he get ready to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. We're going to do for the listening audience on tonight, because God deserves our total praise, that's what we're going to do on tonight. Total praise. That's the wrong version. Let me do this version here. Yes, God still deserves our total praise. Listen, listen, and listen, listening audience, I'm asking you all to keep in prayer my guest on tonight, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson, as he has expressed to me that he's experiencing some pain in his body, but we know that God is a healer, so we agree in prayer on his behalf on tonight that God will continue to touch and strengthen and heal his body, that he can continue to run this Christian race, that God will continue to be glorified through him. Also, we're going to give a shout-out real fast to my pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark C. Holloway, and my church family, the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church in Holland, Harper Woods, Michigan. I want to give a shout out to them as well. I'm getting ready to go to Overseer Jackson, and I pray and hope that you all that have dialed in, you are listening in through the social media platforms around the world. Those of you that may even be incarcerated behind prison bars all over the United States, I pray and hope that you have your Bibles, pens, and paper ready to follow along. Overseer Jackson, I now give to you.
Thank you. Thank you, James. So happy to be with everybody tonight. Just want to tell God thank you for his goodness, his mercy, and his kindness. You played a song that really meant a little something to me tonight. Lord, I came to give you total praise. I was in the food store the other day, and I was walking through the aisles when arthritis decided to hit my left knee. And it made me difficult for me. It made me difficult for me to walk through to do what I wanted to do. And I started to get a little upset about it. And I started to complain. I got ready to complain to God about the pain that was in my leg. And then I looked up and I saw a lady who was walking with a cane. I saw another person who was walking with one of those contraptions that you use to help you stand up and whatever. Then I saw another individual that was riding around in a wheelchair, and immediately I just turned to God and said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your kindness. I don't have nothing to complain about. I thank you. I told him, I said, when I was young, I didn't appreciate so many of the blessings of life, but now that I'm older, every day, I just want to let you know I appreciate you for all that you've done. And so I want to tell somebody, be encouraged. Be encouraged. It's not going to be this way always. One day we're going to a place where there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, no more death, no dying, no crying. My God, we've got a place, a building not made by hands. Glory to God. And if indeed we should become sick up there, and we won't, God said, I got a tree whose leaves are good for the healing of the nation. I thank God for being the healer and the provider that he is. Father, we thank you. We praise, we magnify, we glorify your name. We bless you for your goodness, your mercy, and your kindness. We can't tell you thank you enough. So much is happening in the world, Father. Fires are raging all over the world, God. Wars are taking place. Putin is doing everything that he can to destroy another country and another land. But God, we ask now that you get involved in this situation and turn him out and turn him around. We ask, God, that you would help that country that's under siege. And then, Father, we ask that you look on the saints of God everywhere. There's so much danger out here. You can't go to the gas station without somebody trying to rob you, or somebody trying to take your car, somebody trying to hijack your situation. Or Father, you can't walk the streets without somebody pulling a gun or knife or something. God, you said no weapon that's formed against you should prosper. I'm about to say, God. And we ask you now in the name of Jesus to let the angels of God walk with the saints of God. Wherever they go, God, keep them free from all hurt, harm, or danger, dangers both seen and unseen. Look on the families of those that are sick tonight. Thank you for the young lady that I know that's in the hospital because she had a heart attack. But God, glory to God, you preserved her and you kept her, even as you did me. We thank you for that. And now we ask you, it's preaching time, that you would get involved in me, forgive any transgressions. God, cleanse what needs to be cleansed, if there's anything like that. But Lord, whatever you do, touch my mouth, touch my mind. And God, give me to know what to say. Somebody came to hear a word tonight. Somebody needs to know, Father, how much you care. Somebody needs to know that you're thinking about them. Somebody needs to know that they can get through this storm, Father. Somebody needs to know that they can get through the issue, through the problem, through the situation. Somebody needs to know, God, that there's help on the way. Hey, God, do it now for them. Change it around for them and show them, God, that you're behind the scenes working on the case. Thank you. Now touch us and rebuke the devil that we might go forward in your strength and in your power. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. You will find over the next few times that I preach, I saw something today that blessed me, and it is, it has set a fire, like Jeremiah said. When he said, I wasn't going to tell nobody no more about the goodness of God, he said he just sat down and he just started thinking about the goodness of God, and the fire went to blazing on the inside. And he said it was like fire shut up in his bones. But I heard something, I saw something today that blessed me. Somebody said, preacher, preach like you had the power to hover over hell and to see the heartache and the trials and the pain and the suffering and the anguish that the souls are going through in that pit. Then fly to heaven and see the glories of heaven and come back and tell people about both places so that they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they've got to stay away from one but get to another. I got that thing deep down in my soul. God has placed that in my heart. My God, I'm trying to do what I can do to help somebody see their way into glory. My God. And so tonight we're going to, I got a newness in my heart tonight. I got a newness in my heart. I'm going back to basics. You can listen to other people talk about prosperity all you want. And God meant for us to be prosperous. Believe me. He meant for us to be. But the Bible said, what good is it if you get everything and you lose your soul? What good is it? What good is it? And so I'm asking God to give me the word that will help people to want to live right again and want to walk upright before God so that when the trumpet sounds, my God, we can get out of here. My goodness, because I don't want to be left behind here. It's a mess now. Can you imagine what it's going to be when Jesus comes and snatches his church away? Oh, God, you want to go. You want to go. And so that's where I'm going today. That's where I'm going. Out of the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to talk about a story tonight, a story about three people. Well, it really turned out to be four or five, but we're going to talk about a few people, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid or servant who was an Egyptian, a black woman, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Watch this, because here goes Sarah trying to help God do what God said he was going to do. God didn't need no help, but Sarah and Abraham getting ready to mess up. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I can't have no children. She said, I pray you, go in unto my maid. I want you to take my maid, Hagar. It may be that I may obtain children by her. I'll explain that a little later. And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. Why wouldn't he? She was a beautiful black woman. And his old wife is saying, you go into this young girl? Abraham did not argue about the case. And the Bible said, and Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. And Abraham had women after Abraham dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar. And she conceived. Hagar had a baby the first time we went into her. And when she saw that she had conceived, when Hagar saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And the question tonight is a question that everybody better start asking themselves when you start meeting people. Who sent you? Who sent you? You better ask that question when you start meeting people. I know the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and that's true. But the devil will also send people to you
in order to trip you up, in order to get you to move away from what God has asked you to do in your life. We used to sing songs about that fact. Listen to this one. You got to ask the critical question: who sent you? I was listening to a contemporary song a few years ago one evening when I was doing some work, and it was by Dennis Edwards and a young woman, Thelma Houston. And she sang the song, or rather they sang a duet, and the duet's title was Why Do People Fall in Love? You need to go Google it. Just listen to it. Why do people fall in love? Not why do fools fall in love like Frankie Lyman and the Teenage, but this one was by Dennis Edwards and Thelma Houston. Why do people fall in love? And she asked in the song, why is the blue trying to get me? She said, if I had known all of the changes that you were going to take me through, she said, she should have done what a lot of us should have done. She said, I should have smiled, turned, and walked away. I should have smiled. I should have looked at you. I should have turned and walked away. If I had done that, I wouldn't have let you take me through all the hell you took me through. You need to ask yourself a question. Who sent you? Who sent you? Let me say something that I saw on Facebook, that, and then we'll go into the message. And it asked the question, who sent you? Before you get overly excited about a new person or in arriving in your life, please pray and consider that every person is sent. And you need to know, is their arrival heaven sent or hell based? When I read that, God gave me this message: who sent you? Who sent you? Here we have a situation where you have a woman, Sarah. I'm going to call her Sarah because God changed her name from Sarai to Sarah, meaning prince. Well, Sarah meant princess, but Sarah meant princess of many, because she was going to be the mother of a great nation. And here she is. She's an old woman. And she knows that God had promised Abraham, her husband, that she would one day have a child. But she's old now. She's gone past the menstrual cycle. She can't have no. She's gone into menopause. She's done everything that a woman does and then goes into old age and no longer is in a bearing condition. Sarah has reached that point. And yet God had made a promise to Abraham saying, I'm going to give you a son. And the son is coming through you and Sarah, but both Abraham and Sarah found themselves in a disbelieving situation. Now, that happens to all of us. Every one of us at some point knows that certain things are going to happen, but if it takes too long, then our faith begins to waver. You ain't no different from these people. They ain't characters. They were real. They got the word that God said, I'm going to do something, but it had not been done. And they had come to a place where it was impossible for it to happen. But when Sarah heard God tell Abraham, you're going to have a child, Sarah laughed at God. God turned around and said to Sarah, why you laugh? And Sarah said, I didn't laugh, she lied. Now you're going to lie to God. She lied. But a year later, Sarah had a child. But before that child came, look at what she and Abraham did. They were going to help God to do his work. Now, God had asked Sarah when he told her that she was going to have a child. He said, is there anything too hard for God? But Sarah decided before God moved in a miraculous way, I'm going to help him. And that's the problem with some of us now. We're trying to help God when God doesn't need your help. You were asking God to save your family. You were asking God to do something in your life, and yet you're trying to tell him how to fix the situation. You got to be like the old mother that I met years ago who said, fix it, Jesus, fix it. And if you fix it, I won't have to come back to you again and say, fix it the way it should be because I told you the wrong thing. She did something to help God. She had an Egyptian slave, a black woman, beautiful young girl by the name of Hagar. Hagar was a wonderful young lady. She had a nice disposition, and she was just sweet. And she did everything that Sarah wanted her to do. And then she turned around and told her husband, I want you to marry Hagar. Because that's what they did in biblical days. If a woman could not have a child and her husband was not going to divorce her, he was able to take her handmaid, have a baby by her, and the baby wouldn't be Hagar's, but it would belong to Sarah. That was her plan. The minute she turns around and tells Abram to do this, hey, good God, happy. Oh, yeah, sweetie, I'll go in. Yeah, I certainly will. He went in, impregnated the girl, and the girl has a child named Ishmael. Now, Ishmael, you need to know who he is. Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations, and God told Hagar at one point that he was going to be a wild man, and he would be against everybody, and that's the characteristic of the Arab people today. But the fact is, there was tension between Hagar and Sarah now, because when Hagar realized that she was in a pregnant position and she was giving Abraham a child, she lost her good composure, and she became nasty toward Hagar, toward Sarah. Sarah got hot about it, went to Abraham and said, that woman that you gave to me now has caused you an issue. If you want to do something about it, you do whatever you want to do. And the Bible says she was so nasty to Hagar, that Hagar ran away. Pregnant, but ran away into the desert. Who sent you? Sarah, who sent Hagar into your life? Hagar, who sent Sarah into your life? There was a reason why these people came, but who sent them? Were they sent by God or were they sent by the enemy? Who sent them? That will only be determined a little later on in the story. But the question should be asked, who sent that person into your life to cause so much confusion? Sometimes it comes because of your foolishness. And this is what happened between Hagar and Sarah, because the fact that Sarah tried to help God when God didn't need any help. And she brought trouble into her family because of her actions. How much trouble did you bring into yours because you did something stupid? Because you didn't give God the leeway and the latitude to fix a situation that he needs to fix and only he can fix. The Bible said that Hagar's in the desert, alone, scared, no food, nothing. But God meets her in the desert. I love the fact that God will show up and show out when you need him most. She's about to die in the desert, and God meets her in the form of an angel. That's why the Bible says you've got to be careful how you entertain strangers, because many of you have entertained angels unaware. You'll never know who God has sent to help you out. You need to learn how to treat people right, because you don't know who God has sent to help you. Who sent you? Somebody came to her rescue and turned around and told us to go back home. Regardless of what's happening at home, you go back. You're going to have a child. The child is going to be a boy. You're going to call his name Ishmael. And he's going to be the father of many nations. It's going to work out, girl. It's going to work out. It's going to work out.
And the Bible said she went back, and then you'll see a part of the story later on where Ishmael and Sarah's son are playing Jacob. They're playing, and Sarah doesn't like what she sees because she thinks that Ishmael might inherit some of her son's inheritance when his father died. And she goes to Abraham and says, put him out. Put her and that boy out of here. Get rid of him. Abraham goes back to God and said, how am I going to fix this? And God says, let her go. And look at what Abraham does. The Bible says, that's why y'all got to read the book. You got to read the book. Abraham turns around and goes to God and says, what am I going to do? God said, let her go. And Abraham only gives her enough food for 2 days in the desert. But here comes God again. When Hagar takes her son and sees that he can't make it because he has no food, no water, she leaves him in a certain spot and goes to another spot because she can't bear to see him die. But the angel of God comes back to her and says, it's going to be okay. I'm going to bless him, and I'm going to bless you. And God takes them to another city where they become the people that they become because the hand of the Lord was on them. The question is, who sent you? Who sent you in my life? It's not just Hagar. But look at Solomon. The wisest man in the world wasn't as wise as we think he was. God told him, told all of the kings, I don't want you hooking up with anybody else. I don't want you marrying these foreign women. I don't want you getting involved with them. I don't need you to marry somebody for an alliance sake because you don't need another army to help you if somebody comes against you. You've got me. I'm more than the world against you. Don't marry these other people. But what did they do? They didn't listen. Like some of y'all, you don't listen. You know to do right, but yet you do wrong. And then you find yourself in a bad situation. Solomon, talk to me. The Bible said you had 700 wives. Most of us can't deal but one. One is enough for most of us. And some of us, that's too much for. But one, you had 700. And then you turn around and had 300 concubines. That's 1,000 women, Solomon. You really have gone off on the deep end. And the Bible said, I told you when you became king that if you did what I asked you to do, I would do certain things for you. I would be there for you. I would cover you. I would keep you. I'd make a way for you. And what did you do, Solomon? You hooked up with the wrong people. Who sent them? Why did you marry the princess of Egypt? Pharaoh couldn't help you. Why did you marry all of these other princesses for alliance's sake? Did you forget that the arms of the Lord are able to help you out of your circumstance? Solomon, look at what they did to you. They corrupted your mind. You built temples to their gods. You stopped my folks from praising and magnifying me. You led them in sin. After all that I've done for you, who sent them, Solomon? I didn't send them. Who sent them? The enemy has done this to you. And because you've done this, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to snatch the kingdom away from your family. Your family will no longer rule over all of Israel. I'm going to divide the country because of your foolishness. Samson, can I talk to you for a minute? Your father told you when you asked him
could you marry somebody? He told you to go look at one of the Jewish girls, but you looked at somebody else. And all hell broke out in your life because you chose the wrong woman. The Bible said that you're not supposed to be unequally yoked. The Bible said, how can you walk together except you agree? I told you to leave them alone. But then you fell in love with somebody by the name of Delilah. And you know what, Solomon? You let your sexuality rule your head. And you didn't ask the question, who sent her? You see, Samson, you didn't realize that she was gotten to by your enemies. You were set up. I read in a magazine that she got over $100,000 for setting Samson up. Oh, she was every woman's nightmare, but she was every man's dream. She knew how to please a man sexually. Oh, she was on top of her game, and she messed Samson's head up. Samson fell head over heels in love with all of her tricks. And you would think that any time somebody asked you how to take away your power and you tell them and they set traps for you and you keep coming out of the trap, don't you think that you would have had a mind to know to leave her alone? But whatever she did to him, she messed him up. But Samson, what happened? One day you told her the truth, and she used it against you. You better learn how to keep some secrets to yourselves. Joseph got in trouble because he told something that he shouldn't have told to his brothers and to his father. Samson got in trouble because he hooked up with the wrong woman. Who sent you? The Bible said that when she cut his hair, he lost his strength. And the Bible said they came upon him and they put his eyes out. Took away his ability to see and made him act like an animal treading grain in a granary. I don't have time to tell the whole story because that's another message in itself. Lord, do it again. And I'll preach that message another time. Lord, do it again. But my thing today is, who sent you? David, who sent you? You should have gone to war. But you decided to stay home and send your army. And you played at home. And then one day you go up on top of your rooftop and you're surveying the kingdom. And you look over your porch and you see a woman taking a bath. Oh, she's gorgeous. And you send your servant to find out who she is and bring her to the palace. And you have a little rendezvous with her. Her husband. You know she's married. Her husband is off fighting your war. And then when she comes and tells you that she's pregnant, you try to fix the situation and cover it up. And when the husband comes home, you try to get him to go home to be with his wife so you can say the child is his. But he doesn't do that. And what do? You write a murderous note and put it in his hand. And told him to give it to your commanding general. And when the general read it, what did it say? It said, take him to the forefront of a battle and then depart from him and let him die. And when he dies, you call me and let me know that he's dead. Murderer. Who sent that woman in your life? David, was she a blessing at that point? Or was she a curse to you? You know the story. Nathan the prophet came to him and said, David, we need to talk.
And he told David that you're the man who has caused so much trouble for Israel. You're the man. You're the man. And the Bible said David was wise enough to repent of his sin. That's why he wrote the 51st Psalm, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Because the wrong woman had been sent to him. You better ask the question. Who sent? I'm going to do one more person and we're going to stop. Ahab, why did you marry Jezebel? Oh, another beautiful woman. But she was sent from hell because she did not worship your God and got your people to turn away from the Lord God Almighty and to serve Baal. And it took Elijah to fix the situation. Who sent you? This is a question that each and every one of you must ask yourself when you meet people for the first time. You better ask God to give you a sense of discernment so that you will know whether this person is good for you or bad for you. Somebody wrote something that blessed me. It says, when you allow the wrong people in your house, stuff will come up missing, like joy, peace, love, hope, faith. Yes, people steal these things. And so I'm saying to somebody tonight, learn how to ask God for the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment is the ability to know who's for you, who's against you, whether they're right for you or whether they're not. And when he begins to show you who they are, believe them. Maya Angelou told you that. She said if a person shows you to her who they are, you better believe them because they showed you. The book told you by their fruit you shall know them. You ain't got to judge nobody. All you got to do is inspect the fruit. If the fruit is rotten, leave them alone. You can't hang with everybody. Everybody was not meant for you to be a running partner. The Bible called you a peculiar person. And peculiar means you're strange, you're different. You're round. You can't fit into a square hole because you were not meant to fit into that spot. God said, be holy, for I am holy. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You can't hang with everybody because what they do, unfortunately, is they will drag you down. You ain't winning them. They'll drag you down. If you used to smoke pot and do crack cocaine and all of those other things, you got no business hanging with folks that are still in that same situation. If you were a whoremonger, somebody that ran hip-hop from bed to bed and whatever, you got no business answering the phone at no 2 o'clock for no booty call. You got no business doing that. If your mouth was foul, you got no business cursing because the Bible says cursings and blessings don't come out of the same mouth. Know who you are around. It's time to act like we say or who we say we are. If you say you're a saint, act like a saint. Saints used to be known for who they were. When you walked in the streets, folk didn't curse around you. Folks didn't smoke around you. And they certainly wouldn't have told no off-color nasty joke around you because they respected you because you carried yourself like you were who you were. You knew who you were and whose you were. So the Lord challenges you tonight to ask the question, who sent you? Everything is not a gift from God. Father, we thank you, we praise, we magnify and glorify your name. We bless you. There was more that I had to say, but I hear you say, stop now, stop now, stop now, stop now, and I'm going to do that. And I'm asking you now in the name of Jesus, God, to be with your people. Help them to know who sent them people into their lives. The enemy is trying to destroy folks. The enemy is full of tricks. The enemy is subtle, and people don't realize how subtle he is. He's had 2,000 years, God, of practice. He knows what people want, and he knows how to get over on you. Ask me how I know. I know how he tried to trick me, and I know how you had to move to fix the situation because I didn't realize who had sent the person. But God, one day I woke up and smelled the coffee. Glory to God. And moved away from the situation and saw you work a wonder. Lord, do it for them. Do it for them.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name,
Lord,
we pray and thank you. Amen. It's in your hands, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Overseer Jackson. That's a powerful word on tonight. And I'm like you. I was caught up in that kind of situation before myself. And I never thought about, when I was in that situation, I never thought about who sent in my life. But then I look back over my life, and then I see that person came from the enemy. And we think that person is our friend. And they will show you, like Maya Angelou said, just like you said, if they show you and they tell you that they are no good, you better believe them. I am a witness, and I know that I'm not the only one. You're not the only one, Overseer Jackson. I think we all can say that at one time or another that we fell into that trap. So the enemy is still on his job. He's still doing what he do. So we got to be, and I like how you said, we have a discerning spirit. Know if people that come in our lives, if they mean any good or they are of evil. Because everybody that smiles in your face is not your friend. So I just want to say thank you for that word on tonight. And it was a true reminder for me. And I know it is a reminder for the listeners as well. So on tonight, we're going to open up the phone lines. I know that a lot of people dial in and don't say anything. We had bad weather here in Michigan a couple of hours ago. And for some reason, even at choir rehearsal, a lot of people didn't show up for choir rehearsal because they let the rain stop them. But apparently they don't let the rain stop them from doing other things. But for some reason, even on tonight, all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial into the radio show or go to your Facebook page or your social social media platform and tune into the radio broadcast. But for some reason on tonight, I know there are people listening around the world. Thank God for that. Then there are those that are incarcerated behind prison bars that are listening in on tonight. But we thank God for everyone that's listening in on tonight. And I hope that everyone has received this word and was blessed and inspired by this word to ask that question. When new people come into your life or try to come into your life, ask, and you got to ask God who, and not only ask them, but you ask God who sent them. Did you send this person in my life?
You know, James, let me say this. James, let me say this. The Lord said, tell it because I just saw it and it had to be said. There is one good thing that happened here. We have to look at Rahab and the spies. Rahab was a whore. She was a woman. She was a prostitute. But spies came into her life. And because of those spies, her life was spared and the lives of her family were spared. And out of her comes Jesus Christ. Out of her, Jesus is a part of her lineage because she met the right people at the right time.
That's right. Oh, Jesus. Now, that's powerful right there. That's good. I'm glad you interjected it. And that's a powerful message in that. Because, that's true. And I thank God for you. Thank God for sharing and clarifying that with us tonight. The phone lines are open for anyone. Then if you were blessed by this word, if you received this word on tonight, or if you was inspired by this word, the phone lines are open. Please give us a note. If you want to give them words of encouragement, you can do so now. The phone lines are open. Anyone? Praise the Lord. Anyone? I praise the Lord. We thank God for you all that dialed in. Hello? I'm looking at my screen. I see people dialed in. So you can't say you're not there. I'm looking at the screen. So I just wanted to give you a chance to give Overseer Jackson words of encouragement. Let him know that you received his word. If you were blessed by it, let him know.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you
that. I love it.
Go ahead.
He speaks the word of God. You go back. You take us way back. And then you take us forward.
Yeah.
So keep doing what you're doing, baby. I love you.
Thank you so much, Mother.
Amen.
I appreciate you.
Amen. You. Sister Mary Ann, is Aunt Essie on the line with you tonight?
No, not tonight, baby.
Okay, but let me know. We're still praying for her.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, do me a favor. Text me. I have her number. I'll give her a call myself. But let her know that we're still praying for her. Overseer Jackson, I want to encourage
yes.
you on tonight. I just want to say you stay faithful because you are doing a great work for the Lord. You are a unique man of God. You bring forth God's word in such a unique, different way that and you break it down. Where people can really understand and really grasp and receive the word for themselves. So we thank God for you. You are truly an asset to the kingdom of God. So your labor is not in vain. So you keep doing what you're doing for the Lord, because we know that the enemy, the more we try to be assets to the kingdom of God and the more we try to fulfill our God purpose, we know that the heart of the enemy comes after us. So I believe that's one of the reasons why you're experiencing pain in your body right now. And Lord, we rebuke that demon right now in the name of Jesus. So we're claiming healing for you even
yes.
right now in the name of Jesus. Because the government you're going to come out of there. Thank you. Personally, I thank you for being a faithful man of God. And you're being a blessing to this worldwide ministry platform. You've been a blessing to the Lord. They're dialed in, whether they say anything or not. I'm blessed to the world that's listening around the world, even those that are incarcerated behind prison bars. I do get feedback from some of them, and they are truly loving what God is doing through you. And so we just want to encourage you. You keep on being the faithful man of God, because I'm like you. After this life is stand for God, I'm like you. I, too, want to hear God say unto me, well done, thy
well done. Yes,
so
yes,
my,
yes.
That's my verse of encouragement for you tonight. Stay faithful to God, and God still has more work for you to do. Your labor is not in vain. We're going to get ready to close out for tonight in prayer. We're giving a close out in prayer as we always do. Whether you know someone that's sick and afflicted or not, whether you know someone that's bereaved or not personally, we want to continue to pray for our sisters and brothers in Christ, because everyone that's in the body of Christ that's being faithful doers of God's word, we're all going through something. If it ain't this, it's that. So we need to stay
and we need to
pray for one another. The word of God said the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And guess what? It's still true today.
Yes.
Each honor God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we, your children, we're coming together one more time to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're worthy of our praise. No matter what the situation look like, no matter what the news media says, we know that you are God all by yourself, and you sit high and you look low, and all power in heaven and in earth is still and always will be in your hands. We thank you that you said in your word we can cast all of our cares upon you, because we know that you care for us. So we thank you for being a promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people that have been faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. So, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we want to say thank you as well for your son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We thank you for his great work, his finished work on the cross. And because of his finished work on the cross, we have the victory through Christ Jesus, your only begotten beloved son. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works, and we know that it will never lose its power. So we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to see a brand new day that we have never seen before and we will never see again. So we just thank you for being who you are in our lives. You are our everything. Without you, we can't do nothing. But we know that with you, all things are possible. So we just bless your name on tonight. Continue to keep us and guide us individually and as a corporate body of believers, we'll be able to complete our finished work in the earth that you have assigned to our hands to do that would continue to give you glory, honor, and praise. And it's our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully dials in to this worldwide ministry platform. Those that are listening in through social media platforms around the world, those that are incarcerated behind prison bars all over America, continue to bless them, the works of their hands, that's going to give you glory, honor, and praise. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I always say, and I'm going to say it again on tonight, I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. Continue to encourage one another in God's word. Not with your opinions, but with God's word. And when we do that, then we know that God is going to get the glory. So until this coming Saturday night, once again, Overseer Jackson from Washington, D.C. will be delivering another word from the Lord on this coming Saturday night. Please pass the word so others can tune in and be blessed by the word that's going to come from Overseer Joseph B. Jackson once again on this coming Saturday night. Until then, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
I give you praise.